You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, you are listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and I am super excited today to have a very wise guest with me. So I'm speaking, of course, about Mary Moss, who is, in her words, all about coffee and words. She's an emerging writer in the Christian nonfiction and poetry genres, something we're going to talk about a bit. Her stories are eclectic and vividly written with core Christian values at their heart. She's a creator of unique opportunities for writers to share their works, tell their stories, and earn money. Mary is on a mission to help you divinely design your words to heal the world. And so with that, I'm super excited to welcome you to More Perfect
Marketing.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm super excited to be here. Looking forward to it.
So we were chatting just before we started recording a little bit about the importance of words and stories when it comes to business. And I want to get there, but before we go there, tell me a little bit about coffee and also about the focus on the type of writing that you do. They're both really, you know, interesting ways to position yourself, which is a piece of what we're going to be getting to.
Exactly. A coffee mug with the steam coming out is my logo. And I literally, everything that I do is entwined with words and coffee. I fell in love with coffee as a child because of memories I had of my grandmother and my mother sitting around the oversized kitchen table, talking with friends, telling their stories. And so I fell in love with the idea of it at a very young age. And then as I grew up, I acquired my own taste for it. And one of my favorite things to do is to spend an entire day in a coffee shop drinking coffee with a friend or two. And I'd love the fellowship and companionship and the intimacy around a shared cup of coffee.
And I think we're going to be getting a little bit into what happens when you're sitting around talking to folks over that shared cup of coffee, because I think it's integral to where you come in on helping businesses. You work in two interesting genres when it comes to writing, poetry and Christian focus in your writing as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, both of my books are inspired by and titled after unnamed women in the Bible. So if that's not a storyteller's, idea of heaven, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
My next book that will be out very soon is entitled After a Third Unnamed Woman in the Bible. So you see there's kind of a pattern there. And what I tell individuals who ask me about that, the short and sweet story of that is that they were left unnamed, I believe, so that we can insert our story into their lives or their story into our lives. And even though they did not have a name, they were significant enough that they were included in one of the books that has sold more copies than any other book in the history of the world.
The Bible is often referenced when, you know, we're talking to businesses about using stories, you know, and we say, you know, what is that number one, you know, selling book? And while, you know, often people think Shakespeare, right? It is in fact the Bible. And there's a reason why the Bible, I think, is so very effective at capturing our attention and our imagination. And you probably know this better than I do. So I'll let you share a little bit of you know why it's so effective.
Well, first of all, there are about 255 unique stories in the Bible. Some of them, like the story of Genesis, is in there, two different versions. Storytellers can't help but take a little creative license, and it probably depends on which tribe originated the story. And in the New Testament, obviously, there are four Gospels, four different versions of many of the stories that took place, but the core concepts are what is important. And what is so great, a great case study, particularly about the New Testament, is that each of the authors were addressing a specific audience. And so they adapted their message and even some of the circumstances to appeal to the audience that they were trying to reach. And that applies not only in storytelling and in writing, but in business, we have to know our audience if we ever want to reach them and be successful.
I had no idea that the Bible was written to reach specific audiences in specific sections. And that is, you know, something that I know full well is important in business. So thanks for making that connection. That's super cool. You work with business owners, with folks who are entrepreneurs in one respect or another. What sort of work do you do to help them around the use of words in their business?
Well, I help them do everything from write their quote signature book, which is typically business related and focused around their area of expertise. But I also believe that everyone has a book in them to be written, because we're each given a story, and that is our lives. And so I also help them, if they want to, write their story or some component or segment of it. I always tell people, please don't start with the day you were born and go up to present day. Pick a period, a situation, some recurring theme that you can help people travel with you from that situation to where you are today, so that it gives them hope and encouragement. In business, I help them, again, first of all, identify their audience, show them how to research, some of the very simple tools that are available to us about, you know, the times that certain demographics are on what social media and that type of thing. But it's really, regardless of the method of communication, the first few sentences out of your mouth are what is going to make or break, because it's a lot harder to go back and say, oh, well, this is what I meant to say, than it is just to get it right out of the gate.
So, you know, when I thought about stories and storytelling, I was thinking about, you know, how you position your content on your website, how you blog, how you might do something in social media, how you would create a video. But what you're talking about, and I know you're an expert in teaching people about, is the elevator pitch and use of story there, which is what you were just alluding to. Can you give us a sort of an example of how it how typical elevator pitches don't work and what people might want to do instead?
Sure. This is one of the things that I used to do. And I fumbled around, and well, I'm a coach. I'm a writer's coach. I help writers tell their stories. I've been in the business world for 30 years. I've also been a writer my whole life. I worked as a freelance writer. And you've lost 99.9% of your audience, because like we were just chatting before we started recording, everybody's a coach, everybody's an author, everybody's been in the business world in some way, shape, or form for some amount of time. There is nothing exciting or different about that elevator speech. What I do now, and I'm so excited about this, I just came up with this. What I have on some of my bios, depending on the platform, is that I am the word wizard, and I help you take your words from dull to divinely designed. Divinely designed is the name of my business, but it's also part of what I do, because my mission is to help you take your words, use your words in a divinely designed way to heal the world. And so it all ties back into making that first impression.
It's and by using that introduction that you've just explained, it gets people to want to know more, I assume.
Well, when the first time that I posted that, I got quite a few comments. What is a word wizard? And what does a word wizard do? Nobody's going to ask me, well, what kind of coaching do you do? Mm-hmm. Because like I said, everybody's a coach. And there's nothing wrong with coaching. The trick is to, as a coach, you want to be the coach that can help someone with their specific problem and figure out how you can introduce yourself as the one who can solve their problem.
So for my my listeners, they'll know that my big emphasis is approach your marketing and your business growth strategically rather than tactically. And one of the things that I think is very important is finding A, your target market or your target audience, which you've alluded to, and then B, find the right entry point around something that either matters to them or is going to create curiosity or interest. And this is exactly what you're doing by positioning yourself as the word wizard, right? And,
right.
Oh, what is that? I might be in need of somebody like that, or I know somebody who, you know, tell me
right.
more.
Right, exactly.
So for stories in general, you know, we're not necessarily telling stories, bedtime stories in business. Can you talk about some of the ways that storytelling is most applicable to a typical business? Where are people going to be using story?
For one thing, when I worked for a performance contracting company for a few years, they do infrastructure improvements for colleges and universities and government buildings.
See, you've already lost me. That was a boring elevator pitch for that business.
Right. But you need the context. So we continually would bid for a contract. And inevitably, the first paragraph would tell about how great our company was. We've been in business 25 years and blah, 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 blah. And then one day I said, why don't we put their mission statement as our reason for applying for this job so that they know that we care about them and what their need is. We know what improvements they need. Why don't we talk about that? And that changes everything because it takes the emphasis off of us and puts it on our client. And that applies in any kind of situation that we're in. We've, as you alluded, you find their pain point and then you tell a story around that.
So that's brilliant because I imagine that you saw a different outcome as a result of that RFP. And then did it change the pattern of the way that you,
yes.
you know, put proposals out after that?
Well, for one thing, it shortens that time span of developing the relationship. Because they already, you know, what is it? You know, like, and trust. Well, they already know and like us now because they know that we're all about them. Who wouldn't like somebody like that? So we get to the trust much more quickly. Because then once we get to know and like and get the buy-in, then we can start telling them, and this is why you can trust me. These are my past successes that show that I can meet your needs.
Okay, so there's this connection first between who you're talking or writing to, and then there is the connection around something that matters to them is what I'm hearing, and then finally those two pieces together will be layered on with the know, like, trust, relatability, accessibility sort of things. So, you know, there's a bunch of places that I think businesses in general fail to communicate through story or positioning themselves in a way that it matters to their prospects or even to their existing clientele. If somebody was going to step back and look at their business, what are the types of things that you would say, well, you need to make sure to look at this, this, and this?
Well, for one thing, I would say don't keep using what you used last time. Don't just pull the last response to a request that you did and change the names of the client. Plug in the same resumes, plug in the same information about what your company does. Start out again with what you have to offer them. Let them know that you've identified and understand what their need is. And it takes a little more time to get to know them, to find out a little bit more about them. But it is far more effective, and there's far much more success when we don't just, as I said, just cut and paste, different company, different government entity, whatever, same staff, let me go get this resume, all these resumes from out of the folder. Might need to switch up the resumes a little bit and focus on different areas of experience. Maybe highlight someone that you didn't highlight the last time because they have a specialty in an area that a potential customer has. So definitely always keep in mind the storytelling. For entrepreneurs, I always suggest that you tell your story. For me, I became a coach who helps you divinely design your words to heal the world, because for most of my life, I didn't believe my story mattered and what I had to say made a difference. So I understand a hesitation to even take that first step. That is more attractive to people than saying, I've sold this many books and I can help you make $1 million. That's important too, but it's a different audience.
And I imagine you get there through a different route, right? Exactly. As well. Another way that you work with story is a lot more direct and practical, and I think obvious path, which is books for entrepreneurs. How do you approach a book? What is the utility of the book in a business? Why write a book in the first place?
If you use it for that purpose, first of all, it establishes credibility, because it sets you up as an expert. It lets the world know, I at least know this much between the covers of this book. I knew enough to write a book. And so, the main purpose is to give you credibility. It also can launch you as a speaker, a subject matter expert, if you want to be a speaker in your business. And there are all kinds of other ways that you can leverage that signature book to make money, and to just promote yourself so that people know, so that you have visibility and people know who you are.
It's often the book writing or ghost writing industry for books will often talk about the value of a book as an alternative to a business card, because it opens a lot of doors in ways that leaving your business card behind doesn't. And so I'm sure that there's a great strategy there for for use of a book.
Yes, absolutely. So oftentimes people will give away their book as a way to, again, develop that relationship and get to that know and like and trust all in one fell swoop, just with the free book.
There are a lot of businesses and I'm trying to think of his name now. Jack Welch, who was for many, many years, was it GE? Now it's escaped my mind. It was GE, wasn't it? Who talked about the importance of really just repeating the same thing over and over and over again. And I think part of the fear that a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners have is, well, I can't just keep telling that same story over and over again. But in fact, I imagine you can. What's your take on that?
I can remember one of my coaches told me that I felt like I was posting the same thing too much on social media. And he said, Mary, first of all, you're not that important that people are going to remember what you posted last week. And second of all, why change a story if that's what's working?
Yeah. So you've made this point a couple of times about trying different things or to see what works, right? Don't go back to the thing that you did before. But I think there's also value in testing different things so that you know what works and what doesn't.
And it may be two or three things that work. And so switch those around. And I just finished in a program that I'm in, I just finished a 20-minute signature talk. And I had to cut out an additional 20 minutes of content, but for that particular purpose as part of an anthology. But I have that other content in case I'm asked to speak for an hour. I also can break that down enough to where I can speak for 15 minutes. So it can be the same story, but just kind of different components of it. You know, you have the whole story, you have the chapter, and then you have maybe the first page version, if that makes sense.
Yeah, this reminds me of a video sales letter that I recently wrote for somebody. And we wrote the 60-minute version, or it was 58 minutes, the 20-ish minute version of it, and the 3-minute version of it, where we basically did the same thing in each one. Obviously, the 58 minute version went a lot deeper and had a lot more detail and a lot more emotion that was built up into it. So I can see exactly what you're talking about. You can get the main points across quickly and easily in a shorter version, and in the right context, that's all you need.
That's right.
Yeah. So. For folks who are interested in knowing a little bit more about the services that you offer and who you work with, where can they go to find you?
Well, I am the Mary Moss across all social media platforms, so I'm easy to find. But the best way is to go to Linktree/TheMaryMoss, and that's linktr.ee/TheMaryMoss.
Perfect. And there they'll find, looks like all of your different social media contacts. I can see you have Clubhouse right at the top at the moment, which is
a great
storytelling platform. So
it's awesome. I have about 12 rooms a week, and all of it's about writing, different aspects of writing. I'm in heaven.
That's wonderful. And it's really opened us up, particularly in this past year, to be able to connect with people around subjects that matter to us. So that's great. And then it looks like all of your various activities, classes, workshops, summits, and other things that you offer are listed there as well. So it's Linktree, Linktr.ee/ The Mary Moss. Mary, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time sharing your wisdom and insights around coffee, writing, and the use of stories in business. This has been a valuable time. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me as a guest. I very much appreciate it.
Indeed. So this is David Baer. You've been listening to More Perfect Marketing, just like More Perfect Union. We are incrementally getting better day by day, inch by inch with our marketing. And hopefully you've learned a little bit about how to use words and story in your business on this episode. Thanks so much. And we look forward to seeing you back here once again on More Perfect Marketing in a future episode.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.